Hi, this is Wendy, your host for Community Matters here on Joy FM. Today, we are excited to have Mr. Jacob Payne back to tell us more about Every Believer, a Witness. One of the things he talked about last week, there is 99% of professed Christians who don't share their faith. That's kind of where we're going to pick up today. But we might go into a little bit more again about why people may be afraid to share and then how he helps people overcome that through their discipleship training. Mr. Payne, thank you so much for being here again with us today. Super excited to hear more about Every Believer, a Witness.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be back.
Last week we left off, you were talking about the 99%. Part of that 99% is pastors. Do you have a reason why?
Well, it kind of falls into the same category with the four things that we mentioned, talking about apathy and just not understanding how to really do it. And once again, fear is normal, mm-hmm. even for pastors. Fear is normal. And then powerlessness, you know, if there's sin in our life or if there's things that we're doing to not feel the full power of the Holy Spirit, you know, we have to confess that sin to be refilled with the power of the Holy Spirit. God has called our ministry to reach churches and pastors, to start revivals, to get people busy sharing the gospel again and being bold witnesses for Jesus. And a lot of the way that works, you know, back when Dennis Nunn started the ministry, you know, originally it was taught as a revival series. So we would come in on a Sunday morning till a Wednesday night. We would teach the evangelism training revival, which is what it's called. But as time progressed, we started to realize that it was also beneficial for pastors to teach this. So we always encourage pastors, they could teach this evangelism training series, and we would always encourage them to teach it on a Sunday morning series, because when is the majority of your people present? On Sunday morning. Mm. Most churches aren't having a Sunday evening service anymore. And for those that do, most of the time, usually it's only about maybe 20-25% of the right. Sunday morning attendees that come back and show up Sunday night. So we have found that revivals are great. In revivals, the Sunday morning attendees, if we can get 30-40% of the Sunday morning attendees to come back during the week of the revival, we're doing good. Most of the time, you don't get as much of a response. So we always tell pastors when they teach it initially, you know, because they'll ask, well, hey, can we teach this in a Sunday school class or mm-hmm. as a mm-hmm. small group or even incorporate it in our discipleship groups? And we say, you can, and you can do whatever you like. You can order the training right from our website at everybelieverwitness.org. But we always say the first time you use this at your church, prioritize it. Because unfortunately, if you start out with evangelism training at your church, you give it to your people in a small group. Psychologically, what you're doing, you're telling your people, you know, this evangelism training, it's not priority enough for Sunday morning. We always say, start it out on a Sunday morning, because that's when the majority of your people are present and there, and then you're going to have more of an opportunity to reach all the Sunday morning attendees. And because the goal is to get people bold in their faith and sharing their faith, equipped, and Every Believer Witness, it teaches them everything that they need to know.
It gets them excited.
Absolutely.
Because that's what you need to be, is excited. Every Believer or Witness is different. It literally tells you not only why you should do it, but how you should do it. Because I have been in some evangelistic meetings and they just tell you why you need to do it and who right. you need to go to. They don't exactly break it down a little bit and tell you how. So that's why I like this Every Believer or Witness, because they tell you how.
That's right. And that's what we're called to do, is just to, with our lips, proclaim the good news and be a witness to those around us. Not just what some would call lifestyle evangelism, where I'll just behave a certain way and they'll just get saved because they saw me being a good person.
I literally, off the mic, was talking to Jacob about that as I was growing up. That is just what was so instilled in my mind and still is instilled in my mind, which is a good thing. People will look at your lifestyle. They'll see you shine in Jesus' light, and you know, they'll see how you go through things and they'll see it. But in my mind, as I'm talking to Jacob, I'm like, you know what? I'm not really sharing anything. I'm not saying anything. I'm just assuming that people are seeing my lifestyle and seeing God in it.
Right.
But we need to talk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why it's so crucial that we teach them Every Believer Witness, the evangelism training, and get them equipped. Because what we're seeing now, most pastors that are seeing this 99% of their church people not actively sharing their faith, I wouldn't say they've given up. They still talk about evangelism and witnessing, but they've realized that their people aren't going to actively go out and share the gospel. Let's default and see if we can maybe get them to invite people to church. Inviting people to church has become kind of the new modern day main source of evangelism. We have to remember, inviting people to church is a wonderful, wonderful good thing to do.
Don't stop doing it.
Yes, don't stop doing it. Just remember, it's not the main source of evangelism. The main method, you know, that God has designed is people that know Jesus telling people that don't know Jesus how they can know Jesus. That's what we're to do, is go out and be a witness, share the gospel with others. Don't just tell them you got saved or where you go to church. Tell them how Jesus changed your life.
Have a real conversation.
Just
a real conversation, and keep it simple.
Yeah. Wendy, it's funny. You said a word and it made me think. Dennis Nunn, the founder of Every Believer Witness, he had a quote that he uses. You talked about the word conversation. So I want to read you his quote. It says, "We will never get a majority of our people witnessing until they come to see evangelism as best done in a conversation, not a presentation." That's powerful. That goes into what you're saying about conversation. It's about turning a secular conversation into a spiritual one, being normal. If we truly have love for lost people, if the Bible says love your neighbor, how could you sit there and let your neighbor die and go to hell for all eternity and not share the good news of Jesus with them? He wants a relationship with them because he died and rose from the grave. It's just wonderful how we're teaching people, be yourself, be normal, have a normal conversation. We're not going to ask you to memorize anything or knock on any door. We have tons and tons and tons of testimonials from pastors that have taught this over the years and seen just drastic results in their church because it's motivating their people to share their faith. It's showing them how, you know, to kind of take the stress factor off of it, because you're just being normal, having a normal conversation, and then right in the middle, putting God in it, talking about the gospel. It's super powerful. And something else that pastors are in their testimonials telling us is that some churches are seeing tons of people surrendering their life, getting saved during the evangelism training revival. Here's why. Because people are finally, for the first time, when the pen comes to the paper, because you got to remember, this evangelism training is done during the service. So they're writing their story before, how, since Jesus changed their life, and they're writing it out during the service. Well, a lot of times when we give them 5 minutes for each part, and we play some light music in the background, a lot of times you'll see people looking around the room. Because for the first time in their life, when the pen meets the paper, they realize, man, I've been a churchgoer all my life. I grew up in church, but I don't have a story. I don't know what to write. Their pages are blank when it gets to how and since. Because when you write your story of how Jesus came into your life, you just must have had a salvation experience, a true John 3:3, born again moment. And then if that part don't get you, the next part does. Because the next part, since Jesus came in, the first question that you answer, which is on the key there, the guide, is what was the first immediate life change? A lot of times when people are writing their story since Jesus came in, they realize for the first time, you know, Jacob, my life didn't change. A lot of times the evangelism training revival, it gets people on fire and witnessing, but it also is wonderful to see how the Lord uses it to convict religious churchgoers that are unsaved, but they thought they were a child of God. But they've never been truly born again, surrendered, and they've never experienced a true life change. A lot of times we're seeing results where people are becoming bold witnesses because they're getting saved.
You're reaching people everywhere, but you're reaching people and you're making people think right then and there in that moment.
Yeah. And I can even remember, you know, Matthew 7, we talk about, you know, some other reasons why people aren't witnessing. I can remember Billy Graham. This is probably back before my time. I can remember he had a quote, an opinion he stated one time. And Billy Graham said that 85% of churchgoers are lost. You know, when you think about it and you read Matthew 7, Jesus said many are going to come to me on that day.
Yes.
And he's going to say, "Depart, I never knew you." How terrifying that is.
How sad, because they lived their whole life thinking that they were saved.
So, you know, with that said, you know, I've had some say, "Well, Jacob, are you suggesting that the majority of the church isn't witnessing because they're not saved?" There's possible potential, because Matthew 7 is telling us that many, many will come and he'll say, "Depart." It kind of supports and backs up what Billy Graham said when he was talking about the 85% potentially could be lost in the church if we're not witnessing. You know, sometimes when we get truly born again saved, we say we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but we're not actively sharing our faith and being bold witnesses for Jesus because we have so much love in our hearts that we're truly thankful that He died for us. From the grave, for you know, we owe it to Him to get out there and witness. So,
just telling somebody about what happened to you that day,
yeah, absolutely. So, it's wonderful to see how a lot of times people, God's able to convict them and show them, man, I need to surrender. I've been to church all my life, but I've never been truly born again. And it's interesting, a lot of times when these new believers truly surrender and get born again, all of a sudden they're naturally witnessing.
I'll never forget the day I got saved, I was so excited. And that makes them like witnesses, like right off the bat.
Yeah. And for some of those that, let's say they got saved at a young age, and because we actually address some of this too in our training, we talk about, you know, it's interesting how time goes by. When, if we got saved at a young age, years go by, we lose the joy of our salvation.
Things happen in our lives. We wonder where God is. Does God still love us? And things can get a little hard where we kind of drop off a little bit. Now, I've been there, I will admit, right on the air, right in, you know, in person. It's happened to me before.
Our training, it helps remind Christians how to get back to a place of having that joy in their salvation. Because most Christians, if you asked them, they got saved at a young age, they would say, well, Jacob, I just don't have a story like yours.
Right.
I wasn't a drunk partier. So we show them through scripture, well, actually, you do have a story. Even if you got saved at the age of 6, the Bible says before you got saved that you were a lost, blind, dead, wicked, ungodly, enemy of God. We were all those things. So it helps people to remember, wow, no, you're right. I do have a story to share with others of, I was a lost, blind, dead, wicked enemy of God. Even at the age of 6.
Even at a young age, when you think about it, when you get older and you go back and you're like, even at 6, I got saved. And look at what all God did for me and through me while I was 6 years old. And as I was growing, that would be exciting in itself.
Right.
We need to be telling about this.
Absolutely. And that's what everybody did, you know, in the New Testament. When Jesus was doing miracles and in healing people, what did all of them do afterward? They ran off telling everyone what happened.
And they ran. They were so excited they ran. When we did our Christmas play and we had the shepherds looking at baby Jesus, and then they were so excited they ran through the town. So during the Christmas play that I had my shepherds literally run down the aisles of the church and tell people about Jesus. I was like, I don't want you walking. They ran. They were so excited. I want you to be excited. To me, that was almost like the best part of the play, is just to be excited and talk about Jesus.
Yeah. It's such a blessing to be a part of this ministry because it's God's true calling on my life. You know, He has called me to, you know, not just reach lost people. I do that because I'm a follower of Jesus, first and foremost, not just because I'm an evangelist. It's not just the pastor's job or the evangelist's job.
It's every Christian's job.
It's every Christian's job to be a bold witness. But as an evangelist, He's also called me to equip the saints, to train others, professing Christians, pastors, how to teach this in their churches where they can get the majority of their people actively sharing their faith and excited about Jesus again, starting revivals all over the world. You know, we're even currently working right now. Been working with several pastors in other countries.
Oh, that's amazing.
It is. Uganda, Bangladesh, the Philippines, Kenya. Here's the reality of it, Wendy, is a lot of these pastors that I'm talking to, they don't have shoes. They live in huts. They love Jesus so much and are so thankful for Jesus. They go from village to village sharing His wonderful good news, bragging on Jesus. And most of these different countries that I'm talking about, they're also expressing to me how they're experiencing some extreme biblical persecution, awful things and true, just deathly biblical persecution that they're undergoing. Yet their passion, their zeal, still through it to share the gospel, even though they're facing that. Even when they're going from village to village facing witch doctors, attacks, their passion, their zeal to share Jesus is so biblical, and it's so wonderful to see it. The Holy Spirit, this is all Him. None of this is me, Wendy. It's all the Holy Spirit working through me, and this is what He's called me to do. Evangelism and discipleship, they're tied, just like chains hooked together. Once you share the gospel, well, then you're to disciple them and train them and teach them. That's the third part of Matthew 28, 19 and 20, to teach them to obey all that we've been commanded. That's the discipleship part, the maturing part. And when pastors go to our website, they'll see our flagship training, which is the Every Believer a Witness Evangelism Training Revival. But they'll also see some of our discipleship series that they can teach in their churches. Or we can also send trainers to do it in a revival setting. We have a what to do as the end approaches. How to actually enjoy being a Christian.
I want to take that myself. Not that I don't enjoy being a Christian, but that would just be interesting to me to see how that works.
It is. It's wonderful. Then we even have something for seniors. It's called How to Make the Rest of Your Years the Best of Your Year.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful series. It's got a lot of humor in it. It's fun. It's exciting. Churches all over are teaching this for their seniors at their churches. But this is all discipleship of how we're to be living a life walking in holiness, serving and worshiping God. They still have a little bit of an evangelism push.
Tell me what makes Every Believer a Witness different from all the other evangelism programs that are out there today.
That is a wonderful, wonderful question. And the truth of it is, I wouldn't consider anything that we offer necessarily a program. We call it a tool that you can use, put in your tool bag to use. The thing is, what separates us is our goal. In our saying that we use all the time, Every Believer a Witness, our goal is to help pastors create and maintain a culture of witnessing and evangelism. What that means is once a pastor teaches our evangelism training or any of our discipleship training, here's the thing. Once they do the evangelism training, we equip the pastor with a one-page follow-up plan that is detailed. It shows them how to implement these things where they can change the culture and maintain it. That's what separates us from all the other programs out there is their programs. They start it. They try it. After a couple weeks, it fizzles out. And if I ask pastors, how many of your people are still doing this? Most of them say, they're not. That's what separates us. It's a tool. Then we give you the follow-up plan because that's the goal of our evangelism ministry is to create, maintain a culture of witnessing and evangelism. And, you know, something too, we tell pastors, they can call us, reach out anytime. It doesn't matter who it is. I don't care if you're a pastor in another country that has 10,000 people or a pastor that has 5 people. God's called me to help train and equip the saints. Call us. We would love to talk to you. You'll get a live person, not a computer, not a robot. You'll get a live person that we want to equip and help you any way we can. Being nonprofit, everything that we do is suggested donation. There is no price on anything. It's all suggested donation pricing. So we tell pastors, look, never let Satan use anything like budget or money be a stumbling block of why you wouldn't have evangelism training at your church. If you're struggling to keep the light bill on, we tell them, don't worry about it. We'll send you everything for free. We'll ship you all the notes because any of our trainings, the Sunday morning attendees, they receive session notes. They get these notes every Sunday morning that it's being taught. Mm-hmm. They get their own booklets of notes that they can follow along in, make their notes, and they've got the material. We send all this stuff. If a pastor can't afford the suggestive pricing, we say, don't worry about it. Don't let Satan block this from y'all having this training.
Mm-hmm.
We'll send everything to you for free.
Because God will provide.
God, he's got it. We'll send you everything you need. Plus, we send a lot of stuff through email, a lot of the digital downloads. We send pastor training links where they can study and see how we teach it. They can teach it and incorporate it in their own churches. And then once they teach anything, you know, if they want to incorporate it from there on, there's several churches that I know of that teach it quarterly, that teach it, you know, bi-monthly or teach it once a year. And they may teach it in a Sunday school setting or a small group, D group. And that's fine and great. We encourage it. The thing is, Alan Taylor, he's a pastor. He had a quote that we love to use. He said that if evangelism is not at the top of our list, it won't be on the list. Because we have to remember, we have to prioritize witnessing and evangelism. Pastors have 1,000 things that they have to worry about.
Right, they do. Bless their hearts.
Thousands and thousands of things. They're so busy, busy, busy. And if they're not doing all these things, are their church people going to get mad and frustrated with them? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But if a pastor forgets to schedule an evangelism training, is the congregation going to be upset? No. So that goes to prove that quote Alan Taylor uses about how if we don't prioritize it, keep it at the top of the list, it won't be on the list because there's so many other things going on that are busy. And there's a lot of good things. Sometimes the good things in life can distract us from the best thing, just sharing Jesus with others. You know, you look at any church bulletin, it's full of wonderful, wonderful good things. Sometimes we can make ourselves so busy doing all the wonderful good things, we forget to prioritize the best thing, which is sharing Jesus with lost people, reaching lost people with the gospel. So we really have to be intentional when it comes to prioritizing evangelism training. It's wonderful to see the Lord using it.
Well, Jacob, I enjoyed having you here and telling us all about Every Believer, a Witness. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. Can you tell us, right before I sign off, the one thing that could possibly help us start witnessing today?
I would say, as far as starting today, what can you do? I would encourage you to really deep dive inside of yourself and really understand, allow the Holy Spirit to talk to you and to show you, is there sin in my life? Is there something that's maybe stopping me from prioritizing witnessing? Or God, is it me just being disobedient? If I'm commanded to witness and I'm not doing it, technically, that's a sin of omission. Knowing something good to do, but I choose and elect not to do it, that's sin. So if I'm not witnessing, we have to repent of the sin of not witnessing and really confess any sin in our life. We can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And then if you're listening to this and you're not a pastor, I would encourage you to talk to your pastor. Feel free to share my information. Feel free to share our website with your pastor and tell him to check it out. And I'd love to talk to him and share some more. So feel free to do that if you would like. Otherwise, just continue to pray that God will direct you, fill you with boldness, and to help you be an obedient witness every day.
Thank you so much again for being here with us. Enjoy listening to you and knowing that you have such a heart for this. And it encourages me to dig a little deeper myself. So listeners, I hope that encourages you as well. Check out their website if you want any information. It is everybelieveawitness.org. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, if it matters to your community, it matters to Joy FM.